Hello and welcome to Keep On Cybertrucking, a podcast where Cybertruck owners share their experiences, talk about all things EVs and technology. We're back after taking last week off. The reason why we did that is just because there wasn't a lot of news and I had some stuff going on, so just decided to take the week off, but we missed everybody. And the Dodgers were playing, I'm not going to lie. But Chase, how's it going? Where are you at?
It's good. I'm actually in Lubbock, Texas right now. I'm not in my office because we're in the midst of a road trip, which has been pretty good with the Rivian R1S from Austin all the way up to Denver. So it's kind of a really cool like test to see, you know, how this actually does on longer road trips and kind of, you know, it seems like it's always the big question that everyone asks when you have an EV. They're like, well, what if you take it on a road trip? Yeah. It's like, okay.
Yep.
You know, this is the first road trip we've done in like maybe a year, and it's like one case out of, you know, daily driving. So, yeah.
That's always the question, right? Oh, well, you're going to have to stop every 20 minutes and charge for an hour.
Yeah. Which we were on the road about just over 6 hours today, and we stopped only for one charge because we left with 100% and we stopped for about 35 minutes. It only went to like 40, 45 because my wife went in and got a pizza.
Well, that's what I always tell people. You stop, yeah. You stop to use the restroom, you stop to eat, you stop to just stretch your legs. You stop anyways. Why not plug in and let it charge for a little bit? It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah. And the biggest thing is I was really concerned about the adapter. So we didn't actually until 11 a.m. today, we didn't actually have an adapter that would work with, you know, the Tesla superchargers. We had ordered some from A2Z and, you know, I was kind of waiting patiently and realizing that it was like almost a month before they had shipped it. And they're like, they contacted me, like, you know, assured me that, oh, it's shipping this week. And that was on this Sunday. Monday, I got the confirmation that it left Canada. And we literally just got it today at 11 a.m. So like props on to
just
them.
In time.
So we got, yeah, basically it's an adapter. And so we can use the Tesla superchargers. And it worked out great today. So it made it super easy. So we don't have to worry about going to a Tesla supercharger that only has the adapters available. We can go to any of them now. So
props. Nice. I'm glad you got that just in time. Cause yeah, I wouldn't want to travel a great distance in an EV without having access to the supercharger network. So glad you got that adapter just in the nick of time to utilize the superchargers.
Right. A little bit more expensive than adapt to spending. I think it was like 47 cents per kilowatt. Not great, but I mean, the other option was to go with Electrify America, which I'm pretty sure is about close to the same. So there was like stops along the way this route if we would go non-Tesla, but I would rather just do Tesla just to make it simpler.
Yeah, no, 100%. And yeah, they sock it to you, especially when you're out there on these road trips. They're going to charge you to get some juice into your vehicle. That's for sure. But I wanted to transition over to, so we have a special guest this week. Will's not with us this week, but we have Brian, otherwise known as OG_cyber on IG. And he has a very interesting story because like myself and many other Cybertruck owners who have had issues with the motors and specifically the inverters going out and disabling the rear motors on at least my Cybertruck, which I know I've shared with our audience in the past. And it's actually happened to me twice to the point where on the second time it locked me out of the vehicle and I had to get it jumped. And it was a whole fiasco. I was out camping. I didn't have service. You know, I've shared that story already. But let's go ahead and bring Brian on because he has a very unique story as well. Hey, Brian, how's it going?
Hey, everybody. How's it going?
Welcome.
Yeah, thank you for coming Thanks. On. So Brian, let me introduce Brian a little bit more to the community and to the podcast. So Brian, I call him kind of like the godfather of Cybertrucks because he does a great job kind of gathering all of the Cybertruck owners, at least here in Southern California. And I know he reaches out to people in Northern California and different states and whatnot. So he really brings everybody together. And it's not even just Cybertrucks. He gets, you know, Model 3s and Model Ys and everybody. It gets everybody involved. And we've done what he calls the Cyber Odysseys. So one of the famous pictures that's kind of gone viral and gone around is that a lineup of all the Cybertrucks out in the desert. I was part of that. And that was really cool, really fun time. And you've done two other Cyber Odysseys, right? And unfortunately, I couldn't make the last one, which I think was this past weekend because my son had a basketball tournament. But the previous one, I couldn't make because of my inverter went out on me. And so, Brian, why don't you kind of tell the audience and kind of explain exactly what happened with you? I know you were hoping you were going to dodge the inverter bullet, so to speak.
Yeah.
But unfortunately, it got you. So
yeah, and it got me right as I was going to an Odyssey this past weekend. So good, talk about timing. But I guess, you know, lining, I'm here and I'm alive and the truck is not damaged. And the reason I'll say that is, let's go back, let's see here, on Halloween, I went to move the truck and get it all set up for the trick-or-treaters, as a lot of Cybertruck owners did, to set it all up, and had a really interesting game for the kids. Kind of what I do at the car shows when I take the truck out, I have these dice, big foam dice, and each dice has an alien on it, and then the kids roll the dice. If they get an alien to pop up, they get to not go to the bucket of candy where there's a little alien standing there. They got to go to the frunk and let the frunk open and reveal full-size candy bars. So that was like a highlight for them. And then they had an opportunity to go to door number two where they could have got something else, but it was a risk, right? So I had a line of kids. It was nuts because word got out. Once the word got out with the kids, they all flooded my house. So I had this big old line. But it was fun. But when I moved the truck to put it in its place in the driveway, there was an alert. A service alert came on the screen and it said, service alert, UI_A006. Immediately, what do? We, you know, look it up, try to look it up online. And it's just, there's not, it's very vague. There wasn't much information for me to reference. Going on the forums, figure out if has anybody had this. Put a post, people reply, hey, you know, I had a Model Y and the inverter was getting a high resistance and that was causing that. Or it's just, it could be random taking it in for anything since you've owned the vehicle since February and they've got recalls and they want you in there. Different responses that I've heard. And I said, well, hell, you know, that's really tough for me, but I've got an event this weekend and I'm going to go to it. So come Saturday morning, I had the truck fully loaded with all the gear. I was obviously the organizer. I had breakfast food for the meetup at the supercharger. I had lunch, grill, everything, a lot of stuff there with me. And loaded up and just so happened to reach out to some of the folks who are closer to where I live. So, hey, do you want a caravan from this location to where we're going to meet near Palm Springs? And then that's where the rest of the group will come together and meet at the supercharger. And they're like, yeah, that's cool. I'm leaving my house in 5 minutes. I said, well, here's a meetup spot. Let's meet here at the 7-Eleven. It's all good. So, of course, I get to the 7-Eleven and, you know, what do? It's dark, 5 o'clock in the morning, and my truck having the underglow lighting and then the wheel wells and all that. I'm like, I got it at a gas pump. I'm, you know, taking some pictures of it, you know, and people are looking and they show up. I'm like, okay, cool, let's go. So we leave, we start driving, and we get about 15 miles into the, we're on a road, two lanes in one direction, two lanes in the other. It's got a, just a big middle center turn section area there. And I'm coming up to a light, and the light is yellow. It's turning yellow. I'm probably a quarter mile away from it. So I'm just starting to let off on the accelerator and the regen starting to kick in as the regen gets stronger. Next thing you know, the truck hard and you hear this thud from the rear of the truck. Like it almost feels like you get rear ended. But as I was kind of coming to stop, it was weird. Mm-hmm. And my buddy was behind me. So next thing you know, the screen is going crazy. The lights are, the whole thing is highlighting in red and it says, it says pull over immediately. The truck would not move. It was done at that point. It wouldn't do anything. So I'm going through the menu. I'm trying to do everything I can to get it to just get me off the road. Nothing's working. I'm going to off-road mode, trying to see if I can get the front motor just to get me out of there. Nothing. And then, so the hazard lights are flashing. They're behind. They eventually get worried because they're watching people fly up at high speeds and just jump around. There's a screen shot there. Looks like you've got my screenshot from when it. So you can see the Cybertruck in the in the rear camera view. So there's a buddy behind me with his Cybertruck at the time, right when it was happening, when the lights were and all that. But shortly after that, they figured they didn't want to get rear-ended because, you know, people are on us. So even with the hazard lights on. So they moved and parked into the gas station on the corner. And so I'm sitting there, and within, I don't know, 5-10 minutes, everything went dark. It just, the screen, everything was dark. I had to use the manual door release to get out of the truck. And I'm like, really? So I get out. And now it's just pitch black and there's cars in the distance coming out. I'm like, oh, hell, I got a flashlight. in my pocket, thank God. So I got a flashlight. I'm trying to like shine it to people, like, hey, you know, and I'm watching people swerve. And then my buddy over at the gas station, he's like, oh man, he runs over with some traffic cones. We start setting those up further back. And then he went back and got his truck and he's got his lights going. Here's the takeaway. One thing that I just think of why I agreed to want to come on the podcast was it's kind of like a PSA. It's super important. I think this might be only the duals. You guys probably know better than I, but I've only seen it with the dual motors having this common problem. But if it happens and you're in my scenario and it's dark and the hazard lights don't work, then a lot of people at risk. If you're in your truck, you're at risk. If you're standing around your truck, you're at risk. The people driving down the street unknowingly are at risk. Because it's the nature of what do people do in the cars nowadays? They're looking at their phones or whatever they're doing. They might not be 100% in the game. And if they're not in the game, somebody could die. As a matter of fact, I called the police as well as my friends in the other Cybertruck called the police separately. And that police department in that locality basically said, because it was 5:30 a.m., they said, oh, we're in the middle of shift change, so we'll see if we can get somebody out there. The tow truck showed up before the police. How often does that happen? A tow truck, right? Tesla roadside service showed up before the police. But they showed up, thank God, and before that truck got obliterated and before someone got really hurt. And so the PSA is, if you haven't experienced this, even if you have, I guess, in general, you probably should have some sort of strobe light, something to have a flare.
Glow sticks.
To alert people, set it up on the tunnel cover at traffic. I went and got one of these little guys. This thing's extremely bright.
Totally.
So I could put that on the thing. So there's a lot of different things on Amazon you can buy or wherever, but certainly something to keep you safe in the event that it happens in the dark. So let's go into the towing scenario. So the tugger. He immediately said, this is my sixth one this week. I was like, sixth one this week? Cybertruck. And then he goes, I don't know what's going on with these trucks, but I need to, he goes, what I would do is I jump the frunk and then we get it powered back up. He goes, but we're in traffic. I'm just picking this thing off the road and we're leaving. We're going to the dealer with it. That's what we're doing. So he basically took, because the truck is not going to just freely move, as we all know. It'll still kind of turn, but the rear wheel locked up. So he had these like plastic sled ski things that he pounded in with a hammer underneath each rear wheel. He backed the tow truck up with the ramp down. So he had it just kind of up underneath the tires a little bit, and he pounded those little chocks, these little plastic chocks. And then he drug it up onto the bed of the tow truck. So, and then we went to Tesla, and we got to Tesla at 7 in the morning. The gates were open, and somebody was waiting for me. I was surprised. So at least there's that.
Shout out that tow truck guy. He sounds like a professional.
He was great. I know.
Yeah.
I hope he's a good
dude.
I mean,
that's a wild anecdotal experience, even from the tow truck driver, that I feel like we haven't really heard much of. Like, that, it's concerning, because, like, you know, this is around the time. And I don't know if you said, but what VIN did you have?
Okay. Me.
It's crazy. So, like, yeah, we were at 1553, and then, you know, dropped it at 12,000 miles. It literally was like a ticking time bomb from what I've seen.
Ticking time bomb is an interesting comment, because leads me to these events that we coordinate out here in the Southern California area, where we go to very, very remote locations. And the group, my sample size is about 60 Cybertrucks that I communicate actively with. And within that 60 Cybertrucks, going to events, every time I set up an event, when people confirm, there's always somebody or more than one person dropping out of that event because of this exact issue. And Eric is an example on our camping event, actually, at the Trona Pinnacles. So that was a bummer.
Yep.
But
that was a huge bummer.
That event, three dropped on that. One was you, and the other was from Palm Springs, and the other was a guy in Colorado who was going to come out to go to this event. So, the topic of discussion is at these events, you know, that people are concerned about it. And we are worried that if it were to happen out in a remote location, the tow trucks won't pick you up in the desert. They say, if you're in the dirt, they will not come get you. We had a beast go down on the first Odyssey out in in the desert, and I had to pull them out with a strap. I pulled them back out to the pavement, and then the tow truck would pick them up there. So the concern is, if your truck were to leave you stranded in the desert, you have to have another way out. And so when my truck went completely dark, who knows how that would have played out there in the desert. So in a way, silver lining was I didn't make it to the Odyssey. I had somebody else who was going to take it over and handle it and take everybody on the agenda, the place by place. But, you know, I didn't go out there. And if it would have happened while I was out there, who knows how that would have turned out. It would have been a big pain in the butt, and they would have had a worse time to concern. Because one thing we do have is we've had some situations happen at the Odysseys. The one I mentioned with the tow, the second event at Trona, Eric, we had one of the Cybertrucks. Someone had their phone in their back pocket. They were sitting in the frunk watching one of the trucks do donuts. And when they went to get out of the frunk, their phone fell out of their back pocket and the frunk closed. And the phone was inside the frunk and they couldn't get into the truck anymore at all. It was the weirdest thing. I was like, your phone is so close to proximity. Why can't you get in your truck? And so we would all think that your phone would be good in the frunk. What is that? So if all of us are like around this truck, well, what that the hell is going on with this truck? It was super weird. And then so what do we do? There's no cell phone coverage out there. So it was like, what are you going to do? So one of the guys had Starlink. We got on Starlink. We opened up and we shared her key. Like one of the guys does Turo rentals. He goes, just we'll share the key like and shared the key to him. And he got the.
Oh, wow.
That was a trip.
Smart thinking.
That's awesome. Yeah, it was a trip. Yeah. And the other thing is the. Yeah, Starlink. Exactly. Shout out to Starlink. The little leads on the frunk, putting a battery on it didn't open. For whatever reason, it wouldn't open the frunk. And so that was everyone tried, pull those wires out, put a battery on it. It didn't open the frunk. And they were like, what do we do now? And that's when the whole share the key type scenario. So we've had things happen out at the Odysseys. And that's why the Odysseys are so important, because you want to go do something fun with your truck and learn what it's like to drive your truck in those conditions. Maybe you are experienced in off-road and maybe you're not. And so you get a mix of folks going out there and you're with a group of like-minded people, all with the same vehicles and all there to help you in the event that something goes wrong. And so that's another 100%. Big thing about that's why the Odyssey really exists. It's not like, we're going to profit and get sponsors and that's not what it's about. It's really just about.
Yeah, it's
let's get some cool pictures.
The Odyssey, once again, I've only been to one, unfortunately, but really fun. I encourage anybody who's in the Western States, you know, if you're able to make it out, once again, Brian's IG is OG_cyber_, I believe, and hit him up on IG if you ever want to, you know, get more information on any of these. Cyber Odyssey adventures. But yeah, and I think another PSA, you had a good one with having some type of lighting in case you're in the middle of the night and experience something like this. But one thing I will say, the thing I've learned now is don't go anywhere. It sucks that we have to say this, right? Because it's like we love our cyber trucks and we love EVs, but the reality is the reality. And I want to share, the whole point of the podcast is to share our experiences and to share with people who are considering buying a Cybertruck. You know, we tease, we're beta testers, we're early adopters, right? And so learn from us. And one thing I will say, my PSA is, if you're going to go anywhere and you're going to go somewhere rural, make sure you have somebody else with you in another vehicle.
Always take a buddy.
Yeah, because like I went camping. So my inverter went out twice. First time I went out, I was driving, I was getting on the on-ramp on the freeway, and same thing, felt a little jolt, heard a little noise, then it started yelling at me, right? The screen and the computer. I was able to drive, the front motor worked, I was able to drive and get to Tesla service. So okay, no big deal. The second time it went out, it locked me out like how it did to you, but I wasn't driving, I was camping. So when I woke up in the morning, car wouldn't unlock. I was just thinking the whole battery system died. You know, the battery died and maybe the 48 volt died on me. That's what I was thinking. I had a guy come out, they jumped it, but I was lucky enough that I had my buddy with me. Shout out to Zach. He was with me in his truck. So I was able to get in his truck and take off and meet up with the, you know, tow truck guy, I guess you could say. And I was able to take him to my campsite because I was once again in a remote area where I had no service. So if I didn't have my buddy there, it would have just made everything that much harder. So that would be my PSAs. If you're going to go anywhere, especially right now, if you're an early adopter, you already own a Cybertruck and you say, I want to go camping, take somebody with you.
Absolutely.
Because you don't know what the situation may be. Anything could happen. And it really sucks that it's like that. We were talking before the show started, Brian, about Will, or as everybody knows him as F the Pump on X and Instagram and all that. I was at the Rove event a few weeks back and we were talking and he mentioned, you know, knowing that my inverter has gone out, and I asked him if it's happened to him. He said, no. And I go, hate to say it, but it's going to happen, you know? And he was like, oh, don't put that on me. And I go, it is. And, you know, you had mentioned that it did go out on him just about a week ago.
Yeah.
It just seems like every Cybertruck it's hitting them. It's hitting everybody. And it seems to be around that 11, 12, early teens mileage. So it's unfortunate, but you know, the whole point of the podcast is to share our experiences and share with everybody who's listening. This is what's going on. And Tesla is notorious for not really being transparent and putting out a lot of information, unfortunately. And so that's where we're going to be honest and we're going to sit there and say, hey, this is what it is. And, you know, I know I scared you a little bit because I had told you it went out twice on me and you're thinking in your
head. Well, I mean, the inverters, how much mileage did you get or how long was it between the two?
I think it was like a week and a half later. It happened again.
Wow. Okay. So, well, then maybe maybe they figured something out between them. Well, no, I'm sorry to scare you. No, I mean, you know, it's fine. I mean, it's getting some attention at some high levels, from some Tesla engineering, folks who are going to get that unit and send it off and look at it or whatever. So there's people that I know that are trying to like really look into this heavily. And I'm like, well, it's kind of common. And so I don't know why they go with it, but
what I would want to happen is for Tesla to just kind of put this out and go, hey, what I would love to see is if they were to say, hey, you know what, if you have a Cybertruck, bring it in and we'll just replace it.
Yeah.
You know, if they already have an improved inverter. I don't know if they do because they replaced mine and then it went out again. So I don't know if they have an improved one.
I don't think that they do at this point because it doesn't sound like it.
And that might be the case. That might be the reason why they're not doing that, because they're going to sit there and say, okay, we're going to spend all this money and time to replace inverters and we don't even know if that's going to help.
I would be curious to see how high the VIN numbers really go for this issue. I know we all really had low VINs, but then if we start to see VINs within like, you know, 5,000, 8,000, you know, plus into the 10s and 20s, then there's a real serious issue.
Yeah, I would love to actually find that out. So as a matter of fact, since obviously we're live right now, but this is going to go to all of the podcast platforms and also to YouTube. Anybody that's had an inverter issue, please do me a favor, leave a comment. Let me know your mileage and your VIN number, or at least range of VIN number, if you don't want to give out the exact VIN. That would help us kind of figure this all out. And maybe on the next podcast, we could kind of share that information and just, you know,
100%
try to narrow this down a little bit if we can. You know, if anybody's out there and had that issue, hopefully nobody does. But, you know, we know there are people.
Not to derail too much, but I will kind of shout out the Cyber Odyssey stuff. It looks like a ton of fun. And if you saw the story, I did have my hands on some of the same desert dust, at least, because if you saw earlier in the podcast, I acquired Eric's like rear fairing and I cleaned that thing notoriously a lot to get all the dust from that nice trip off of it before I put it back on the actual, on our truck to then sell it. Whoever's going to buy our truck, so it's told that I have a story.
Let's tell Brian that little story real quick before we let him go. We know he's busy, but, So Chase went out and he did some jump. He jumped his Cybertruck and, you know, the little fairing that's in the rear tires.
The one they tell you to take off before you off-road? Yeah, that
exactly.
One.
So yep. You broke your passenger side?
I believe it was the...
Let's just call it the passenger side. He broke the passenger side. No, actually, it was the driver's side. You broke your driver's side. And then I broke the passenger side when I was at Odyssey and I was drifting. And so I broke my passenger side. So, and then one day Chase and I are talking and he goes, hey, I'm thinking about selling my Cybertruck, this and that, whatever. I know you broke one, but which one did you break? And I told him passenger. He goes, oh my gosh, well, what are you going to do with the driver one? I go, I'm not going to do anything. Well, if you can you send it to me? I would love to put it on mine because I broke my driver one. And then now both are, you know, neither one of them is broken and I can sell it and no big issue, right? And so that's what I did. I sent it to him. I apologize in advance because I sent it to him dirty. And so that's what he's talking about. He had some of that dirt from Johnson Valley out there.
Very valuable item.
Excited to have it.
Yeah. Inaugural Cyber Odyssey piece right there. So whoever gets
it. Collector's
that,
item.
Yeah.
I kept the broken one, by the way.
There it is. You know, it's nice. A quick 100%. Release. You said it.
Yeah.
Nice.
After that jump, I had the CEO of T-Sportline in my DMs, and I was talking to him. And I was like, "This, you need to make a product for these fairies.
Yep.
If you're going to have to take them off every time you want to go off-roading, that's just a minor inconvenience."
Yeah.
And then
we
talked about it on the pod, but it's really, you could tell in the off-road manual, if you look at all the photos, one of theirs is clearly broken and hanging on for dear life. So it was like an afterthought from Tesla.
That's good.
Exactly.
But it's
awesome.
Cool.
Well, Brian, we appreciate you coming on, sharing your story, giving some insight and advice for anybody. Hopefully nobody deals with this. Nobody goes through this like we have. But if they do, some great information. Once again, Brian, is there anything you want to plug or anything you want to share? Anything coming up? Any odysseys?
We are on a break because we're coming into the Thanksgiving season as well as Christmas. So we did our final one at the beginning of November for the year, and we will kick back off probably in January sometime. What I normally do is I will post on Instagram. I will post on our forum online. It'll normally say Cyber Odyssey upcoming event, and then I get people off of that. And then I'm on X as well. It's BLove77, but I use it a little bit, but because it's kind of a platform a lot of folks use, so I use that. So again, that's BLove77. I know, BLove. So anyhow, there's some history. I'm only going to get into it. But anyway, so check it out, and we'll be kicking back off next year, and look to see people come out from all over, like I'll be from Utah, Vegas, Arizona, come out to these events. So it's certainly worth the drive out, especially the camping. The overnight events are great because you're not just there for a few hours and you're driving like 10, 12 hours to get to the spot. So, but two driven out for a long distance have always said it didn't matter. It was worth it. It was great. It was fun. And then three that we get, the last one, we were at a tank museum, the pictures with the cyber trucks around the tanks, literally 100%. We were parked right up on these tanks, really awesome stuff. So we try to mix it in with some really neat things see and do, and love to have her. He's showing a couple of the pictures. there's the truck that's in the shop sitting there waiting to get worked on. It got dropped up on Saturday. They haven't touched it yet, so we'll just see how long it takes them to fix it.
Yep. Well,
also the Anaheim Tesla dealership opening, like a grand opening event on November 15th, and we're going to have 15 to 20 Cybertrucks at that event. Eric, I don't know if you're going to be attending that.
What's the date on that again? I saw that. I would like to attend.
It's Friday, November 15th from 6. So you're going to have like refreshments, music, stuff like that, opening up this event.
I might be able to do that.
They want to position the Cybertruck in the server trucks done by then, which at this point I'm like wondering, but I'm hoping to have it ready for that. So we'll see what happens. But that's going to be a fun event.
Awesome.
You're becoming the West Coast Enerbeck, bringing people together.
Just have fun with these trucks,
100%.
I love it. Like, it's bringing people together that never would be before. Like, I could only relate it to like maybe Raptors at this point, because like you see all these Raptor runs everywhere where people get together and be like, "Oh, you've got a Raptor toolbar.
Right.
Cool, you're in the crew." But if you got a Cybertruck, you just have the same capability, but now you're in the future.
Absolutely.
100%. Yep. Thanks, you, Ben. Brian. And then just real quick, I know the audience doesn't care about me saying all this, but. if you look over on the side, you see how it says 39% uploaded? Do you see that next to your name?
Screen. But what's it mean?
I'll send you a link to just to get everything uploaded.
Cool.
Yeah. Cool. Appreciate it, Brian. Thank you.
All right, folks. You guys have a good one. Take care. We'll see you.
Yep. All right. So, I think that was some really good information from Brian on, obviously, unfortunately, he went through that. Inverter issue that I've gone through as well, but his was a little scarier because he was actually driving and
in the middle of the intersection too.
it just shut down on them. Yeah. So that was unfortunate, but I'm glad that, you know, like he said, he's safe. There's been no issues with him. Hopefully they're able to get his Cybertruck fixed sooner than later and get him back on the road, because like you mentioned, and we were saying, you know, he facilitates a lot of these meetups and things that we do. So we really do appreciate him.
It's just really concerning, because I feel like if I were to come into, you know, Cybertruck ownership even today, you know, I would maybe say you might want to maybe go for a non-foundation series, or even wait till middle of next year at this point.
Yep.
We've given these stories, you know, just because, you know, you never know. Even if you bought one today brand new, maybe it was like a foundation series sitting in a lot somewhere. You don't know if it's got the same issue or not, because we really haven't heard anything from Tesla. That's yep. a concern.
But yeah, I mean, we in chat, it's funny that you say that, because in chat, there's been a few people that are saying, you know, that's the reason why, or number one, some of them are saying there's a reason why they're waiting, you know, things like this. Some are going, let me find it right now. Bill goes, now I'm genuinely scared to get one. I was going to do it tonight. So, you know, I don't want to scare anybody, and I don't want to discourage anybody, because obviously I feel very strongly that the Cybertruck is a great truck. It's a great vehicle. It's a lot of fun. It's I still say to this day, it's the best driving vehicle that I've ever driven.
100%,
and
yeah.
And I've driven a lot of different vehicles, you know, from high-end luxury vehicles to high-end sports vehicles to heavy-duty trucks. And this is just... I've never driven anything like this.
Yeah.
It's just so much fun. But unfortunately, like we say, we're beta testers pretty much, especially us early VIN numbers. And there's going to be problems, just like any other piece of technology. And, you know, Teslas are really, you know, these huge computers on wheels, more so than anything else. So
Right. It's
understandable. I don't want it to be this way, but it's mm-hmm. it's understandable, you know. It's
still the same way
we have to go through,
like every day, you know, driving the R1S quad motor. It's as fast as a cyber beast is, yet I miss steer by wire every single day. Like yeah. it's incredible, like how much of a difference that makes, steer by wire as well as the, you know, the quad steering. Like having that is game changing with any kind of vehicle.
100%. Speaking about other vehicles, though, what I wanted to kind of share is some really exciting news that happened this week that I really just I'm like in love with this. Let me go ahead and pull this up. I'm sure everyone's seen this at this point. I think it was announced last week or so, but Scout is back.
Yeah.
And they have a SUV coming out as well as a truck. And watch some YouTube videos on this. I've seen some promotion. And I feel like Scout has put everything that I wish the Cybertruck had into their vehicles.
100%.
And like, it's amazing.
And because I was asking some questions, but I never really got like solid answers for it. Like, this is actually coming out of the VW
yes.
sponsorship from Rivian, because this is basically on, you know, Rivian's technology, but it's kind of a new take on it, right?
Yes, yes. That's my take on it, is that that's what it looks like to me. It looks like it's the Rivian platform done by Volkswagen, who owns Scout, right?
Yeah, that makes more sense.
And it just, like, even right there on that screen they showed, it's just the fact that they put that little tray, you know, that slides out in the front so you can sit down. It's a little more comfortable seat. You know, I believe they're going to have an option to have up to 500 miles of range, because there's going to be a gas generator on board to help recharge the batteries. Yeah, I love that. You know, I know some people go, well, I just want all EV, you know, electricity. I don't want any gas. But for someone like me who wants as much range as I can get, I mean, I would totally opt in for that, you know. And I'm sure that's going to be much cheaper than the $16,000 range extender that's going to take up a third of my truck, or the bed of the truck. So I love the interior of the Scout. It has, I believe, 10,000 pounds of towing capability. One thing I noticed, though, as well, is I was watching a YouTube video from my buddies over there at TFL, and they say that it's not quite a mid-sized truck. It's a little bit bigger than that. So it seems like it's bigger than the R1T. I wonder how that's working out, if it's based off the same platform.
Yeah, it'd be nice if it was bigger, but honestly, what has me excited is what you got in the video here. It's like kind of basically the answer to the Bronco. But it's like if a Bronco and a Rivian had a baby, this is what you would get. But what has me concerned and questioning a lot of things is that because this is VW is obviously purchasing technology and engineering from Rivian, so they're kind of mixing those two. But this is almost making a direct competitor to Rivian's vehicles themselves. So it feels weird that this is in their mutual benefit. I mean, maybe, you know, because in a way they're doing better than what Rivian is on certain features, which
could be interesting. I agree with that. But I guess that's why they got paid, what, $5 billion?
Yeah, they're like, here you go. We'll save you.
You compete with us all you want, you know?
Yeah, because honestly, like I really like the Bronco, and I love that they like brought it back. Because initially, like I've always wanted to get like if I had a fun car, go get like an OG Bronco and just kind of trick it out. But then the new Broncos came out, and then I'm like, okay, new Broncos are cool, but the Bronco Raptor, now we're talking, and then it looks kind of really cool. But then, which kind of leads me to, well, what if it was a Bronco Raptor, but it was an EV? And that's when you're starting to get those scout vehicles, which has me actually really excited.
Yeah, no, it's, you know, you talked about, you know, a Bronco. I wanted to talk about another vehicle, and you mentioned the Bronco, and I just, as a tease, I wanted to kind of show this one as well. But here's the TFL. New, well, you know, the Weekender. Have you seen this one from Kia?
I haven't seen this.
Okay.
Oh,
so
from Kia, that's right.
From Kia, Kia unveiled their concept, which is called the Weekender. It's the off-roading super vehicle, you know, as they're kind of calling it. It's a camping van concept. You know, I can't say it's a little weird looking because, I mean, I drive a Cybertruck, right? So, but
yeah, right.
But it's very interesting. One of the things that I find kind of interesting is the fact that it has solar panels on top, which is something that, you know, I don't understand why more EVs don't have solar panels. But it has solar panels on top, but also the wheels, the way it generates energy based off of the wind. And, you know, the wheels are turning and there's wind happening there. That helps generate some energy as well. So that's kind of cool.
So I think the Cybertruck actually proved that, you know, you can, I mean, objectively, I'm not like a fan of the look, but where I'm interested is the capability. Like you said, like having a solar panel on the roof, that already has me interested. And I think the Cybertruck kind of proved to us in a lot of ways that capability is king. And the fact that like everyone thought that, you know, the Cybertruck looks weird, blah, blah, blah. But then when we finally got the production model in hands, people were like, wow, this is actually can do a lot of really cool things that we didn't expect. And that's what really speaks. So if it looks odd, I can let that pass if it's, you know, going to function really well.
100%. And like we said, we bought Cybertrucks, so we can't complain too much.
And here I am complaining about the Silverado EV because of the looks. So.
Exactly.
But I mean, at this point, I just had this conversation with someone this last week because they were like, you know, I'm not sure about the Cybertruck. I would maybe want to go with like a Lightning. And I'm like, just don't go with the Lightning because that's the cheapest one out of, I mean, it's the cheapest made EV truck out of all of them that we have on the docket right now. Like, I think you could go with a Silverado EV and get everything you need as long as you don't need to go off road and you're going to get a way better product for, you know, less money.
Yeah, I agree. I think if you're looking for a full-size truck and you don't want to go with Cybertruck for whatever reason, I think the Silverado or the Sierra are the way to go, in my personal opinion. I think what you're getting, and it's truly an EV truck, you know, the Chevy set out to make an EV truck as opposed to, like we've talked about in the past, where the F-150 Lightning is kind of a conversion.
Right.
But another vehicle that I wanted to share. Once again, we took last week off, so there's some things I want to share with everybody.
There's a lot of cool things,
Yeah, is this the electric EM90 luxury minivan. So if you look, it's a little bit longer, and there's a reason for that. They're really making this, you know, like a higher-end vehicle from Volvo. Let me get to the interior, and you'll see what I'm talking about. You see the legroom here
in
the middle seats. That really is like the main focus for this vehicle. And you see
Iron for who? Like, yeah, I'm curious about these back seats for sure.
Yeah, I think they're aiming towards like executives that want to sit in that middle seat and kind of be almost like a limousine type of situation. I'm not sure, you know, if I don't know if people are going to actually be buying that for this reason, but it looks really nice. I mean, it's futuristic. There's a lot of cool features, but yeah, I just thought this was something that came up recently, and I was like, you know what? I want to show this. And $115,000 for a minivan. You know, why not?
I mean, at this point, I mean, if the $100,000, you know, Cybertruck is a family vehicle, why not at this point? You get third row for an extra $15,000. But
yeah,
the thing is, though, like at that price point, you might as well. I think you're right. It's more like the executive car that you actually have more space to carry more people, and that would be the market, I would think. But you're also up against, you know, the Mercedes and the other ones that are, you know, doing really well already.
Yeah, not sure if this car is actually going to make it to the market, but at $115,000, it looks nice. But at $115,000, I'm not sure who's really buying that. But, you know, I thought it was interesting. And as always, I always appreciate when people are pushing the envelope and coming out with something new and innovative and, you know, really trying to get something out there to
get people talking. Yeah, I heard a lot of interesting things this week about the... So I've always had high hopes for the eventual EV Raptor from the F-150 Raptor.
Yep.
Which is now coined the Switchback. And they're calling it the Switchback, I've noticed, because they want to be able to switch between, you know, off-road and on-road capability, just with, like, you know, obviously suspension change, just kind of like the Cybertruck did. But what caught my eye is I was watching a few rundowns and maybe like some drive-alongs that they did, you know, in some Baja kind of scenarios. They mentioned that the horsepower of the Switchback is only about 500 horsepower or 550, something like that. But it was interesting that it was lower than even the dual motor Cybertruck, which I think is odd. Like, it's obviously capable, but it's odd that they wouldn't try to go, you know, more
go above and beyond
than the Cyberbeast. Because I feel like if they're going to try to go for a market of, like, you know, equivalent of the Raptor R, which is like 120,000-130,000, they need to come at, you know, the market with like 1,000 horsepower EV truck, I think. In my opinion.
Yeah, no, I don't understand that either. If you're going to put out a new product, why not try to one up the main guy that's out there. So yeah, it's kind of interesting why they don't do that, but I don't know. Another thing I wanted to show is obviously the big news is the election from yesterday, and you know, given the fact that, you know, Elon endorsed Trump and Trump won the election, big news is the fact that Tesla stock skyrocketed. And they went all the way up to $288.53 a share, which, you know, for anybody that's a Tesla stockholder, and I'm sure there's a lot who are listening to us, that's great news. It's fantastic news that the stock, you know, obviously took a big hit. And I think this is the highest it's been since mid-2023, so over a year. So I wanted to share that as well. So for anybody that has Tesla stock, congratulations on getting
the
stock price.
I think some of this is also, like, if I had to speculate, probably suppressed because they weren't sure what was going to happen. Well, even with Trump getting in office, there was a question of what was going to happen with Mexico and the Tesla Mexico plant. Because at first it was like, you know, they're going to tariff anything that's coming in from Mexico, and it was going to affect basically whatever they built in Mexico, which could have been the Robotaxi, it could have been, you know, the next Model 2 or whatever it was going to be, it was going to affect that. And I think that was kind of the unknown. But then probably where it shifted is that obviously Elon's endorsement, and then maybe, you know, getting into the presidency. I don't know. It's interesting that just it shot up the price that way. But I think there's a lot of factors to it.
Yeah, no, 100%. I'm just happy that, you know, I'm not going to lie, I'm a Tesla stockholder.
It went up.
Yeah, there you go. So I'm happy. I'm happy with that. So let's hope it keeps going up and up and up. I don't know if you've seen, we haven't done What Were They Thinking in a while, but there's something that came up recently that I went, okay, we need to talk about this. So let's go ahead and pull this up.
Surprised you didn't talk about the Mexico wreck.
I have that, so okay, we can talk about that. But
I did see right this one here.
Yeah, there was a Turo, a renter, and so let's go ahead and show this. So there was a porch pirate, right? So let's go ahead and show that video first. This person steals a package off this person's porch, jumps in the car, and you see the Cybertruck racing by right there. In the video, you hear a crash. Well, here's the dash cam footage from the Cybertruck. So they're turning onto the street, and you'll see here shortly, after this Model Y turns, you could see the person jumping into a car, and the Cybertruck takes off. What? And yeah. So
see this? Oh, that's crazy. Wait, so...
Here, we can watch it again, Chase.
Okay, there, but the Cybertruck... I'm just curious of, like, what was the motive, like...
Well, that kind of goes into the point of what were they thinking?
Yeah, like, I feel like...
What was in that package, though, so valuable?
Unless it was literally, like, the owner of the house, they saw them running away.
That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah,
that's what I'm thinking. So, once again, you see right here, Porch Pirate, they go, they take the package, they run to their car, you can see the rear end of the vehicle, it takes off.
Which and would make more sense when I have this footage, too.
Yes. So, what my guess is the Cybertruck rental, the guy who rented it, this is his home scene. He's getting home. He sees somebody taking his package off the porch, and decides to go on a little bit of a chase.
In a rental, like, come on.
In a rental,
like, what?
Look at this.
It's just bonkers to me. And I think
it's just,
I did see, I believe it was the owner of this said Cybertruck that I had posted on X, and he was like, hey, if you needed your reason not to put it on Turo, this is it. Yeah.
That's the reason why I haven't put mine on Turo. I thought about it many times. We've talked about it off air. I actually have my Cybertruck loaded into Turo. It's just not live.
Right.
I've done all the settings. I've done everything. And then I've never been able to just hit the button to just, all right, put it out there. I just can't, because for this, I mean, I'd be pissed, you know?
In our case, I'm more glad that we kind of got out of that when we did, because, you know, what if a Toro renter had the Cybertruck and the inverter went out? How do you explain that? It's like, okay, what do you do? You know, it's like, it would be like if you were on a rental and the engine just like blew up. It's like, what do you do?
Yeah, no, 100%. 100%. I'm curious if
to actually reach out to that owner, though, because if I can find it on X again, because I'm curious what the price point was, because that's always been my running theory, is that because the prices of Turo renters per day is getting lower, that's where we're starting to see more shenanigans happening. Not saying that, like, this person was, you know, a nefarious person because it was cheap, but that's my theory, is that after a certain point, there's a level of seriousness that you take with a rental vehicle when you're spending, you know, hundreds of dollars a day versus like $100 a day.
Yeah. Yeah, exactly. It gets to a point where is it even worth it? And, totally. That was always my early days. The thing I dealt with was, you know, is it worth it for me to put it on Turo? And it may have been at one point. I haven't checked to see what the rates are over here, but I'm sure they're not very high. And
it's come down quite a bit, even what I've heard in LA as well. But
yeah,
I mean, that's the whole reason why, you know, if you go try to rent a Lamborghini, find me a Lamborghini for rent for less than $500 a day. You're not going to find it, because it's always 500 to 1,000, because it's for that very reason. Like, people need to, like, put down money to take it seriously.
100%. But I also think that with the Lamborghini, I mean, there's less of them out there than there are Cybertrucks at this point.
True.
So
it's market.
You know, so they could kind of do that as opposed to, I think, Cybertrucks, you know, seems like everybody's got them at this point.
I was going to say, there's like probably 40,000 made now. Like, it keeps climbing pretty fast.
At least. Last thing I have for today is, you mentioned it already, which was the crash that happened in Mexico, of all places.
Yeah, pretty incredible.
Yeah, this this is by far, I think, would you say it's the worst accident that we've seen?
I mean, the worst would be the one in Houston.
Other than the fire?
Yeah, the one with the one fatality that we know of for sure would be the worst. But this is probably the second worst, but the one that didn't produce the fatality, which is incredible in its own regard.
Yes. But, I mean, this thing is just demolished. I mean, look at this.
It must have rolled and flipped multiple times, like, which is crazy because these things are so heavy, like, they're hard to flip. So what even happened? Like, I want to see the video of this thing.
100%. Well, it's funny. I was talking to my good friend Dennis just last week. He's my friend that I mentioned on the podcast before, who just took delivery of his beast, and he brought it over last week, and we did some launching in it, which was fun.
Fun.
But we were just talking, and he was mentioning, you know, the feeling of like flipping, you know, the truck. Just sometimes when he turns, he feels like it's going to flip on him. But I've told him, this thing's virtually, you know, you can't flip this. You know, you can't flip a Cybertruck. It's all the weight is down low and it's centered, and there's like no way. And then I see this, and I'm like, oh, you know, obviously, I think that's the reason why they limited the
speed that you can even go at, you know, a certain height, I think, is because of that. You know, like, if you're running on the street at, like, very high, you know, your chances of flipping are probably double at that point.
Yeah, this is just pretty crazy, and not a lot of details. I've looked. I haven't been able to find much on what exactly happened.
Yeah. Tire sheared off. Like, it's crazy. But I mean, what I have heard from this is that there was no fatality, and I'm not sure about injuries, but I'm sure there's
not completely injury
free. But
yeah,
this is one that actually I heard from other people that don't have Cybertrucks, but knew that we had one, and they're like, "Oh, have you seen this?" And I'm like, "Yeah, that's pretty bad." But my rebuttal to that was like exactly what we just said, that, you know, we've only had one fatality that we know of in a Cybertruck, and, you know, arguably it was just as gnarly as this one, but I mean, the case there was that, you know, there was some water involved and the battery caught fire, so who knows if, you know, if that person would still be alive if that wasn't a factor. But yeah, this is crazy. But I mean, shout out to your team, because the fact of still saving lives is a case here, even with the Cybertruck.
Yeah, no, 100%. Real quick before we get going, because I haven't acknowledged it yet, but hello to everybody in chat. LJ, Anthony, Hugo, as always, RP714, Yellowstone 2016, Mark, as always, Jay, Bill. Yeah, I don't know if I'm missing Fury. Fury's in chat. Appreciate everyone, as always, for coming out and watching us live and supporting us, LJ. So, yeah, thank you guys. Appreciate it. And Chase, safe travels.
I'll be back in office next week. So basically up and down really quick for the weekend. But still, like I said, Friday wedding, not my favorite. Friday wedding out of state, for sure.
Yeah. But, I mean, you're going to have some good stories for us next week to let us know how your road trip went. Hopefully everything goes smoothly.
100%. I appreciate it. Yeah, so far it's going pretty well. I already have some gripes. I really need to put them in my notes, because there's some small things that I'm like, I don't like about Rivian's navigation and just certain things, but yeah, just minor things, but it's good feedback either way.
All right. Sounds good. All right. Well, thank you to everyone who watched us and is listening. Appreciate you guys, and we'll see you guys next week.
Yeah.